Welcome to the Backend Engineering Show with your host, Hussein Nasser. This is the show where we discuss the art and the craft of building software and cover recent news on backend technologies. If you enjoy the show, make sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel and rate it on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. With that said, let's get on the show.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Welcome to the Backend Engineering Show with your host, Hussein Nasser. Today, we're going to discuss this piece from Slack Engineering. Slack recently migrated all their WebSockets connections and architecture from HA Proxy to Envoy. That does not mean they fully moved to Envoy. They just moved the WebSockets architecture, and there are a lot of other pieces that are still working on moving them. And before we discuss all these kind of things, guys, in any blog, in any engineering blog, we as engineers should be pragmatic when we read this kind of things. Like, if we see Slack move from HA Proxy to Envoy, that does not mean HA Proxy is bad, right? And we're gonna see from this article that the reasons Slack moved has nothing to do with limitations in HA Proxy. It's just the way Slack doing things that HA Proxy didn't fit with them. And Envoy, they had more experience in Envoy engineers, so they want to, instead of maintaining two things, they already had Envoy in place. Instead of maintaining two systems, they want to maintain one. They had more engineers who knows Envoy than HA Proxy. They moved to that. Okay? That doesn't mean HA Proxy is bad. We're gonna find out this thing. Same thing happened with the Uber when we discussed that a few months ago, right? The infamous article, they moved the prompt Postgres to MySQL. Postgres community were furious on how that article is written. And I believe some people will be furious with the way this article is written as well. You're going to see for yourself and you make the decision at the end of the day as an engineer. How about we jump into it, guys? So the title of the article is Migrating Millions of Concurrent WebSockets to Envoy. Written by Ariane van der Stelt, staff software engineer, site reliability, and Radha Kumari, senior software engineer, site reliability in Slack. Let's read the blurb and then discuss the portions of the article that I want to discuss. I'm going to move through the entire article. I'm not going to read it all, obviously, because I'm going to summarize it. So if you're listening to this podcast, so I'm going to try to describe the diagrams. If there aren't any many diagrams, so that's good, right? So we're going to explain that and we'll jump into it. Slack has a global customer base with millions of simultaneously connected users at peak time. Most of the communication between users involves sending lots of tiny messages to each other. For much of Slack history, we've used HA Proxy as a load balancer for all incoming traffic. Today, we'll talk about problems we face with HA Proxy, how we solve them with Envoy Proxy, the steps involved in migration, and what comes after. Let's dive in. So here's the first portion of the article talks about WebSockets at Slack. And I'm going to summarize it. Guys, I talked about many times about WebSocket in this channel. I have a playlist here. Go watch that if you're interested to know. If you don't know anything about WebSocket, go watch that. Obviously, I always discuss the fundamentals here. So you not see tools like Socket.io in my channel at all or fancy stuff like that. I always discuss the bare RFC standard fundamentals here. All right, and how you build it from scratch. WebSocket is a bi-directional protocol that allows you to send messages from the client to the server, and the server sends messages back to the client. And because it's bi-direction, that means it's stateful, right? Because there is knowledge between the client and the server. They need to know each other. that's despite it being built on HTTP, which is stateless, it is stateful. And it's important to mention that because it is very critical for load balancing. Load balancing stateful workload is completely different than load balancing stateless workload at HTTP, which is, in my opinion, much easier. Slack did the hard part by moving all WebSocket connection to that. And so they explain here, okay, how WebSocket works. Obviously, it's a just normal HTTP connection. The first time we establish a TCP, followed by TLS, that makes an HTTP connection. And the first request always is an HTTP GET upgrade request. And when proxies see that, they know that this is WebSockets. Right? And once you, with this is successful, you get back the HTTP 1.0.101 switching protocol. That tells the client that, hey, the tunnel has been established. And then everything you send, the proxy just leaves it alone and then forward it as is to the backend. Okay, so that's how it works, essentially. Baby fuzzin. So yeah, Slack uses WebSocket for all sorts of things. Messaging, presence information, whether this is online or not, and for bots. Bots consumes WebSockets and to send all sorts of stuff. So we have clients and we have back-end WebSocket services. And this logo is Socket.io, which is a tool built on top of WebSocket. And this is basically the load balancer, which moves everything to the backend. And a very critical point here, that Slack mentions here, the HA proxy server terminates the connection closer to the client. So like if you're in, let's say, Singapore, you're going to be served from a local HA proxy WebSocket, HA proxy load balancer that will terminate it, and you're going to send the WebSocket connection, but then the backend could be somewhere else, right? That explains some part of the latency that they get. You remember the outage that they have on January 4th? That cross regions, that explains if they, because that's exactly what they said, right? The backend could be far apart, but the front end is very close to the server. And obviously, we always, as backend engineer, we always say, hey, make the servers as close as to each other as possible so you get minimum latency. But looks like this is what happened here, right? So we have backend services. And these are terminated with essentially stateful proxying. And we know how HA proxy does it, right? We talked about it many times on this channel. It terminates the connection. If it sees if there is an upgrade request, HTTP upgrade, then it basically switched from a layer 7 immediately to a layer 4 proxying. So it will hook you to one TCP connection on the backend. Right? And I keep saying TCP here because I know everything is HTTP 1.1/HTTP 2. Right? They didn't specify that though. All right, so now we know the backend, we know the front end, we know the load balancers. Let's jump into the reasons why Slack have moved to Envoy. While we have been using HA proxy since the beginning of Slack and knew how to operate it at scale, there were some operational challenges that made us consider alternative like Envoy proxy. So let's see, what are these limitations? Hot restart. When I first read this, okay, that implies that Envoy has hot restart, but HA proxy doesn't, which is absolutely not true. And if you don't know, guys, hot restart is basically when you want to reload the proxy with a new set of configuration, but you don't want to drop any connection. Almost all proxies support this now, right? It was a difficult problem for a few years. Most proxies have solved it. Like in 2017, every proxy that I know of have fixed this problem. So you can essentially... Because when you load reconfiguration, you can change the ports, you can add more endpoints, you can add more. And then how do you maintain the new process? You spin up a new process, that's one way to do it. And then that the new process gets the new configuration, while the old process just lingers around to quote-unquote drain the old connection. And draining is the idea of, hey, let's just receive the connection, but let's just serve the existing connections, but don't accept any new things. Because you're going to die eventually. That's the idea here. So that's hot restart. So Let's read through this portion of the article. At Slack, it is a common event for backend services in point lists to change. That is essentially the backend services. Due to instances being added or cycled. So yeah, this is old service, kill it, add a new one. So the IP addresses changes all the time. So you need to update the configuration very often. And I'm going to give them that in a minute. The configuration changes a lot. This point goes to Envoy. We're going to talk about it in a minute. HAProxy provides two ways to update its configuration and to accommodate changes in the endpoint. So how, we know that the endpoint, the backend, is part of the configuration. So if your backend changes, you got to update the configuration. And when you update the configuration, you're going to reload it somehow. There are two ways to do it. The first one is through the runtime API, which I talked about right here. I made a whole video about how to use the HAProxy runtime API to update the configuration, like add a backend, remove a backend. You can do that. And it's going to do it instantly in that same instance, right? So that's essentially, I'm not going to use the word ephemeral, but it doesn't persist. Does that make sense? It does not persist. You can have options to persist it, but that you can change it on the fly. Just call and run a runtime API and do it. Now they say here, we use this approach, which is the runtime API, with one of our sets of HAProxy instances, and our experience is described in another blog post. The blog post is titled, A Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day at Slack. You can feel free to read that article, but I'm going to summarize it for you. There was a huge outage back in May 2020 that I did not cover, but at Slack. That was not the January 2021. That's what the May 2020. The main reason they claimed is that it was HAProxy. But when you actually read the article and analyze it, it has nothing to do with HAProxy. The problem was, again, here's what happened. Let's summarize this article and then put a pin in it, right? We're jumping to another completely different. We're going back how many months? We're getting back 7, 8, 9 months ago, May 2020, when an outage happened in Slack. What happened was, because of the pandemic, a lot of people started using Slack because everybody at home, everybody's working from home. So the amount of WebSockets and all the connections doubled and tripled. So they had to spin up more backends. They have spun up more backend than they never ever hit during the life of Slack at all. And in the pandemic. The pandemic gave us, you've seen all the outages that happened to Microsoft, Google, Amazon, Slack, all these outages because of the pandemic. We think that we're going to handle. No, even the big guys cannot handle the load when everybody's at home. And it's like everybody going to the bank and withdrawing all their money. Bank don't have that money laying it out, right? That's what happened. And then we're learning, the big guys, the big cats are learning great lessons. And we engineers are also learning great lessons, which is awesome. All right. So they start spinning backends like there are no tomorrows. However, now with more backends, you need to load balance those backends. That means you have to update HAProxy to make it aware of those backends. But guess what? How do they update HAProxy? How do you update HAProxy? You need to update using the runtime API, right? Well, how do you do that? Well, you need to write a client that does the update. They did. They wrote a custom code to use the runtime API to update that. So as old backends go stale, they supposed to remove them and new backends are added. They add them to this fleet and then update the configuration. Here's what happened. All of a sudden, they see that the more backends they add, HAProxy is not forwarding traffic to those new backends, shiny new backends. So what happened? You read the article more. I'm going to reference it below. What happened is there was a bug in the code they written to update the runtime API. The bug was they did not remove the old backends that have been stale from their code. So they kept adding them. And as a result, the new backend didn't get any traffic. So now you tell me, is this the fault of HAProxy or is this the fault of the client that uses HAProxy? So that's their excuse. that HA proxy didn't function, right? Exactly like Uber did with Postgres to moving to Postgres to MySQL. It's a lame excuse, Lack. I'm sorry, but it's a lame excuse. Okay, it's a bug in your code, so you can't blame HA proxy. So then they said, okay, you can come back at them. Now moving back to today, writing this article, we're gonna move back and say, okay, why don't you guys don't use the runtime API? Use the reload. Just reload the whole configuration. And they say, with every HA proxy reload, well, we can reload, but remember, this is WebSockets. What is WebSockets? WebSocket is a long-running connection that is always alive. It's not simple as a stateless HA request that you send and then you wait for a few milliseconds and then it's done and you can safely kill it. No, this is a long-running hours connection. So if you reload, here's what HA proxy does, and here's exactly what Envoy does. They don't mention that, which is deceiving. I don't like that. Envoy and HA proxy does exactly the same thing when you reload their configuration. They spin up a new process, they reload the configuration, and the old process, they communicate with each other, the old process and the new process, and then they essentially exchange information, and then the new process tells the old process to start draining connection, as we explained. And then what will happen is the old process connection will be lingering and running for hours, right? Guess what? Envoy has the exact same problem if you do it this way, but they didn't mention that. I read the whole thing. I'm going to mention it today. Both HA proxy and both Envoy, when you reload them, they do zero dropping the connection. They don't drop the connection. HA proxy does not drop any connections during the reload, nor does Envoy. But they only mentioned that, hell, Envoy doesn't drop connection, HA proxy. They say, hey, they didn't say anything. They don't mention that HA proxy, which is, again, deceiving. It's not cool, guys. If you got to do your homework. If you want to write an article, don't write it as a hit piece. Just do their ways, weigh the things. I don't know, guys. Do you agree with me here? Don't you think this is unfair a little bit? I don't know. Okay, let's go on. But I'm gonna give you now the plus point to Envoy. Here's the plus point to Envoy that HA proxy does not have, as far as I know. Envoy allows us to use dynamically configured clusters and endpoint, which means it does not need to be reloaded if the endpoint listed. That's a plus for Envoy. I'm gonna give you that. Because most of the 90% of the operation, I just made up a number for my ass, are back-end endpoint updates, the configurations. Envoy, technically, you don't need to change that configuration. They have a way to dynamically update that, which technically HA proxy has the same thing, right? It's just you have to write code to update the runtime API. Envoy has it dynamically. It connects to their console and discover services. And as you services start discovering, will automatically be loaded in Envoy, which is very attractive without loading the configuration. That's the attractive point. That's where they should focus. They should say, hey, HA proxy doesn't have that. We have this. We don't have to write code. Envoy just takes care of that. That's a plus for Envoy. Okay. If you use HA proxy to update backends through the configuration directly, unfortunately, we have to reload. And when you reload, you're going to have the old processes lingering and the new processes. And then you have a lot of processes running, and they didn't want that. A lot of processes, that means a lot of memory. That means, obviously, things can go wrong. Now, Envoy has the ability to hot restart itself without dropping any connection. So does HA proxy. They don't say that, obviously. Right? It's like an ad for Envoy. That's what we're reading. We're reading an ad, guys. It's an ad read here. It's an ad read. Enjoy this ad read for Envoy. Envoy watches file system configuration with iNotify update. So as the configuration changes, they essentially do a hot restart so that it does a hitless update, essentially. so that if they want to change the configuration for Envoy, which has nothing to do, if there's something has nothing to do with endpoint, like something else, right? I don't know, adding a rule, for example, you have to change the configuration, right? That requires a restart. And when you do a restart, guys, when you do that, you have to mention that. They did not mention it. If you change a rule in Envoy, you got to update the configuration. And when you do that, new processes will be spun up and old processes will be kept running. They did not mention that. That's exactly the same thing that they claim that's the limitation of HFProxy. They have that, Envoy have that. But the good point here that I'm going to give them, they don't do that as often. That's my assumption. They don't do that as often. And as a result, they don't run into that problem as often. Okay, so that's a plus for Envoy. But again, the article is written in a very odd way to as I said, it's an ad read. Let's add another plus for Envoy here, okay? Another plus for Envoy. Panic routing. Guys, now they are mentioning the January 4th, 2021 outage, which I covered right here. If you want to if you're interested, go watch my video, full analysis about the outage. It was very, very interesting to learn. It was essentially as a result from Amazon, their cloud provider. There was like a network latency and that caused all sorts of havoc, right? But Envoy actually helped them here. Now, when a backend is marked unhealthy, HAProxy or any other proxy will naturally not forward traffic to it, as far as we know, right? But Envoy here has a move that caused panic routing. They said, hey, there's a lot of unhealthy backend services that is a little bit suspicious. I'm going to ignore the status of the health. I'm going to forward the traffic anyway to it. That's called panic routing. And it did help. This was very helpful during our January 4th quote, this was very helpful during our January 4th, 2021 outage, which was caused by a widespread network problems in our infrastructure. Here they mentioned, because of the above reasons, in 2019, we decided to migrate our ingress load balance tiers from HAProxy to Envoy proxy, starting with the WebSocket stack. The major goals of the migration were to improve operability, access to new features that Envoy provides, and more standardization. By moving from HAProxy to Envoy across all of stack, we would eliminate the need for our team to know two quirks of pieces of software. I believe that is the major reason, guys. Because the engineers at Slack have more experience with Envoy, apparently they might hire new guys, they want to, instead of maintaining two software, they wanted to maintain one, which makes sense fiscally and financially and everything, right? Makes sense, right? So they just, hey, moved it. But the way they wrote this article is just, they painted HAProxy as like the worst thing, which is not good, in my opinion. I don't like that. To manage two build and release pipeline and so on. By then, we were already using Envoy proxy as the data plane in our service mesh. We also have experienced Envoy developer in-house, so we have ready access to Envoy expertise. Right. The next section is not interesting for me. It's just how they use Chef to update, they generate their Envoy configuration. You can read it for yourself. But let's skip all that stuff, right? Here's the interesting part. Migration to production. Before we migrate that, I'm going to mention something that they did not mention here. And the fact that they didn't mention it, that means they are not using it, I'm assuming. And here is it. There is this beautiful RFC that's called RFC 8441. I talked about it right here. And it's essentially the bootstrapping of WebSockets on top of HTTP2. Okay. Guys, when we use WebSockets on HTTP 1.1, we're going to have a one-to-one connection with every single client to a backend connection, to a backend server, to a backend TCP connection, which is wasteful if you have Slack amount of connections, millions of connections, right? If we used HTTP 2 on the backend, and it doesn't matter what we use in the front end, Slack can multiplex WebSocket connections into HTTP streams. So you can have effectively one TCP connection having HTTP2, right? And then if you have a WebSocket connection coming from H1 client from the front end, you can multiplex that into an H2 stream in a single stream in a bigger TCP connection. So now you have one TCP connection serving, I don't know, thousands of clients. I think that the maximum is 200 streams, but you can flip and play with that. So now you minimize the number of TCP connections, which is obviously better. It's better to have less connections than more connections, right? So that is a feature of Envoy that is not yet available in HAProxy, yet they didn't mention that. I don't know why. Are they not aware of that? Because that seems like a very attractive feature for you guys at Slack. You're going to have a single TCP connection with multiplexed WebSocket connections. Now you've just minimized the number of connections on your backend. I'm just interested if they are considering this or not. That would be very interesting too, if they studied that or not. Because Envoy, they can just light this up with a configuration, right? If their backend is HTTP2. I'm assuming that their actual backend, those guys, those puppies, the backend is HTTP 1.1, maybe. And essentially HTTP 1.1 with TLS. That's my assumption, right? Again, I might be wrong in anything I say here. It would be good to have someone from Slack comment on this. It would be really good. All right, now that we mentioned the RFC 8441, which I explained that, HAProxy is actually developing that feature right now in 2.4. And it's going to be, obviously, guys, I'm not sponsored by any of that Envoy or HAProxy or anything. I'm an engineer that gives you my personal opinion. You can take it or leave it, right? And you get to decide whether this product is good or this product is fit for you. Again, it really depends on your use case. So this is a migration of production, and I absolutely loved this. The way they did this, absolutely love it. They used the, obviously, this is the WSS DNS entry, primary, wss primary.slack.com, the DNS. At the DNS, they did a weighted traffic so that for the listeners here, we're describing a diagram with two boxes. The upper box is HAProxy network load balancer, and the lower box is the Envoy network load balancer. And there's the name server here with two arrows going to the upper box and the lower box. The upper box taking 70% of the traffic. That means 70% of the resolutions of the DNS goes to the HAProxy and 25 goes to the Envoy. Beautiful. I love this. This is how they essentially migrated everything. So slowly, they decrease the amount of the weighted routed to HAProxy, and they moved everything to Envoy until HAProxy essentially took zero connections. And they moved everything to Envoy. They ran into a few problems while doing that, but they fixed all of them, obviously. So, and yeah, that's how they migrated into the production, which I absolutely loved. It was boring and good. So it was smooth, right? Here, they take a hit at HAProxy config, which, quote, "We found that old HAProxy config had grown organically over time. It was largely shaped by the model that HAProxy uses. One large configuration that include all listeners. Envoy configuration model uses much more defined scopes than HAProxy model. Once a listener is returned, only the rule inside the listener apply to the request. Once a route is entered, only the rules apply." We know how this configuration looks like in Envoy. It's a nested rule, so it's like you can read it this way. But what they mention is like, it took us a lot of time to extract what was important in the old HAProxy configuration, which from what was effectively technical debt. So they had a lot of rules from the HAProxy configuration. They didn't know why do we have it, but they have it laying around essentially, right? So to them, maybe it's a personal thing, but to them, looks like Slack prefer Envoy configuration, reading Envoy configuration over HAProxy. I'm going to leave you as a listener, and now I'm going to show you two configurations. The first one is an HAProxy. The first one is an HAProxy configuration. The second one is Envoy. They are identical, okay? But look at HAProxy configuration and look at Envoy. And you tell me which one is simpler to read. To me, it's definitely a chip proxy, right? That being said, I do not know how big is the configuration at Slack and how large and how that scales with a lot of requests. I'm not going to guess that Envoy is going to be list size, because if I'm building a smaller HTTP server and I wrote only 10 lines for a JProxy config versus, I don't know, 36 or 40 lines, and it's harder to read. And you guys go watch my Envoy video and see the pain, how I pulled my teeth writing those configuration, because Envoy is written in a way, again, I'm not dissing any technology here. I'm giving you my personal opinion, and you can see the pain that I went through writing those configuration. They have these large class names, and I understand why they have that, because they want to make Envoy extensible. You know, the whole mantra of open for extension, closed for modification, which we know about. This is the object-oriented mantra, right? So that's why they have class names, so you can write your own class name to be anything, so you can extend Envoy. That's why Envoy became popular, and a lot of like Istio essentially built on top of Envoy, because you can easily extend it, which is nice. But to end users, engineers, reading that thing is just completely unreadable, very, very hard. You can argue that, hey, let's say, how much time do you spend reading configuration? Well, a lot, actually. So I want my configuration to be simple. And the other atrocious thing is they use this stinking thing that's called YAML, which I absolutely hate, right? And then that will struggle with spaces and tabs and all that stuff. Ugh. Right, so you have to have tools to write configuration, which is like what? Yeah. So Envoy is good. HAProxy is good, guys. Both of them are good. Some features that Envoy essentially are better for Slack in this case. The HTTP2 WebSocket on top of HTTP2 is a good one. They didn't mention. I don't know if they're using it or not. Or they're planning to. HAProxy does not have that yet. They are developing that. But again, the idea of features is moot, because any proxy, unless it's an architectural low-level change, any proxy can implement any feature and can catch up. So features, having features is not really a criteria, I guess, for it's one of the criteria, but it's not the major criteria, because proxies can pick it up. Software can pick up features like that easily, especially if you have teams behind it. But the simplicity, the scalability of the things, and Envoy did have an edge over HAProxy, I gotta say. The dynamic endpoint loading is an edge for Envoy over HAProxy. So that means they do not have to reload it as often, but sometimes they do have to reload it. All right, here's another feature I forgot to mention. And I'm not sure if HAProxy supports that, but here's the thing. In case, and they don't mention this here, they actually, let's go through that, actually. The hot restart in Envoy. Let's go through Envoy now. Read through. Now we're reading through the hot restart feature in Envoy. And I'm not sure that HAProxy or other proxies support that. This is a game changer. This is good stuff. So let's read it and let's discuss. Quote, Envoy hot restart supported was designed so that it will work correctly even if the new process that is being spun up, obviously after you reload the configuration, and the old Envoy process are running inside different containers. So you could be different containers, different operating systems altogether, different machines, I'm guessing. Communication between the processes takes place only using Unix domains. So we talked about the communication between the processes itself, which HAProxy does, right? HAProxy still communicate between the old process and the new process to effectively kind of gossip and tell the old process, hey, start draining. Hey, stop accepting connection. Hey, do this. Hey, do that. Copy the list file descriptors. Give me your listener sockets. All that stuff. So this is happening. Envoy here says, hey, we do that even if you reload in a completely different process. We will find that old process and we're going to communicate with it. So in Kubernetes, this thing is really powerful, right? In a Kubernetes where everything is stateless, where you can shut down and reload and the new process will be in a completely different container. That's a plus. And I'm pretty sure other proxies will start picking this up as they become cloud native. All right, guys, that is it for me today. I think I discussed all that I wanted to discuss. What do you think about this article? Regardless of whatever I said here, I love technology. I love these kind of discussions, right? And I believe we learned a lot from this article. So Ariane and Radha, thank you so much for an absolutely amazing, well-written article. We have, obviously, with every article, we have criticism. So stick it with the sportsmanship here. And yeah, at the end of the day, HAProxy didn't work for Slack. They moved to Envoy and they're happy. So I commend all the engineers at Slack who worked very hard to do the migration, to implement this thing. And they wrote, obviously, a lot of code to get this running. It wasn't smooth because they found that there are features that are in HAProxy that is not available in Envoy. So they had to rewrite this stuff and chef their custom configuration. All right, guys, what do you think about this article? Let me know in the comment section below. I'm going to see you on the next one. You guys stay awesome. Goodbye.